Good morning all. My name is Mahindra. I'm going to read the Bible verses now. If anyone of you want a church Bible, please raise your hand and they'll be given to you. So today's reading is from John chapter 11, verses from 20 to 44. John chapter 11 from verse 20. Chapter 11 from verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was the cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having us at your church this week. We've had a great week. My name is Andy. I'm part of the mission team. And thank you for the invitation for me to open the Word of God with you today. I know that many of us sitting here at church were actually not born in Australia. So put your hand up if you were born overseas. Wow, that's almost half of us here. Like many of you, I was not born in Australia. I was born in mainland China. Has anyone been to China before? Put your hand up if you have. a few of us have. Yep, so here's a question for you. What are the famous tourist attractions in China? Someone said Great Wall. Can I have the slide up, please? Yep, so I'll just show the Great Wall. Yes, very good. And what else? Someone said Terracotta Warriors. Yeah, exactly. So these are the two must-see tourist attractions in China. And here's another question for you. Do you know which Chinese emperor built the Great Wall and the Terracotta Warriors? That's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, so the Great Wall and the Terracotta Warriors were built by the first Chinese emperor. His name is Emperor Qin Shi Huang. And here's another interesting fact about this Chinese emperor, that towards the end of his life, he has launched an obsessive nationwide search for the elixir of life. Why? Because he believes that such an elixir of life is the key to conquering death and gaining eternal life. Well, did he succeed in his mission? Historians told us that he died at the age of 49 in 210 BC. Why am I telling you about the Chinese emperor? Well, just like how he was launching a quest to find the key to eternal life, today I want to launch the same quest. I want to take you through a quest to find the key to eternal life. We all want the assurance of life, don't we? Assurance of eternal life. And yet, how can we succeed in our mission while the most powerful Chinese emperor in history has already failed in it? That sounds like a bit of mission impossible, isn't it? How about let us pray before we start our mission? Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for giving us your precious word. I pray that you may open our hearts and minds so that we could all have the assurance of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, let's dive straight into our quest. The title of today's talk, as you can see, is Meet Jesus, Find Life. And there will be three parts to it. So we'll begin with part one, which is about confronting death. You may be wondering, are we not talking about life? Why am I starting with death first? Well, this is because we cannot know how good life is unless we know how bad death is. This is obvious, isn't it? What makes life so good is the reality that death is just so bad. In the passage that we just read today, people have experienced firsthand the ruthless and devastating impact of death. At the beginning of this historical account, Lazarus was getting quite sick. So his two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent people to invite Jesus to come over to their village so that Lazarus could be healed by Jesus. However, Jesus did not go immediately, and instead he decided to postpone for 2 days. He decided to postpone his departure for 2 days. And unfortunately, at that point, Lazarus has already died. For Mary and Martha, the death of their much-loved brother was just so devastating that they were just weeping and mourning. While the idea of death may seem very daunting for many of us, we must recognize that death is the inevitable fate for every human being. The Bible has actually given us a very clear explanation that starting from our ancestors Adam and Eve, death is introduced to this world as a consequence of our rebellion against our Creator God. For every one of us, from young to old, from poor to rich, we all have to confront with physical death as our inevitable destiny. Did you know that in Eastern Asian countries, such as China, Korea, or Japan, number four is a cultural taboo because it sounds very similar to the word death. So in Chinese, number four is si, and death is si. Sounds very similar, isn't it? So people try to avoid mentioning or interacting with this horrible number because it will remind them of the reality of death. For example, I know that as a Chinese person, I know that Chinese people would typically avoid having the number four on their car plate or as part of their phone number. Now, I want to show you this. Can you tell me? So this is inside the elevator of a residential building in Shanghai, China. Can you tell me what is wrong with this picture? What is missing here? Well, level four is missing, isn't it? It's actually very common for apartment buildings to not have the fourth level because people do not want to be reminded about the reality of death whenever they go home. It's ironic, isn't it? I mean, death is just inevitable. And by removing the number four in your life, it's not going to actually make any difference at all, is it? Yet deep within our hearts, we do not want to face death. We do not want to face such a reality because we know how tragic death is. Death is so tragic because when someone dies, it means that they have lost all their connections and relationship with people whom they love. So many unfulfilled dreams, so many unaccomplished tasks, so much regret in life. And in today's incident, the death of Lazarus means that Mary and Martha could no longer relate to their much-loved brother. They could no longer experience the loving presence of their dear brother. And everything about Lazarus could only exist in memories. If we have experienced the loss of our loved ones, I think this sad reality is something that we could all resonate with Mary and Martha. As a child, I was very close to my grandfather, and he sadly passed away 20 years ago. From then on, I have missed him dearly. Whenever I have achieved significant milestones in life, for example, my university graduation, my wedding day, the birth of my daughter, I just wish that I could share these joyful moments with him. I just wish that he could give me a hug, a big hug on my wedding day. I wish that when after my daughter was born, he could hold the little hand of my daughter. But sadly, he is no longer with me, and all I have is just the past memories of him. Even though death is inevitable, it's tragic, but yet there is actually something else that's even worse than physical death itself. In the Bible, in Hebrews 9:27, it says that just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. The Bible clearly tells us that God's judgment will come after death. And for people who have failed to live according to God's standard, the outcome of God's judgment is eternal punishment in hell. So, for us, humanity, who is under the bondage of sin, physical death itself is not the end point, but rather, it is the gateway to eternal suffering under God's righteous judgment. So humanity is actually in a double crisis. Not only must we confront with the reality of death, we must also face the reality of God's eternal judgment after physical death. then could God rescue us from the fate of death and judgment? Who could we turn to for our quest of eternal life? This brings to the second part of the talk, that is meeting Jesus. Continuing on from the historical account, Jesus has finally arrived at the town of Bethany 4 days after the death of Lazarus. Just let me read this again in verse 20 to 27. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Perhaps some of us sitting here may ask the question, same question as Martha. Why did Jesus not come earlier? I mean, if only Jesus could arrive just 4 days earlier, Lazarus would not have died. This is a very good question and a very important question. But I would like you to park this question aside for now, because we will find out the answer later in the talk. But for now, let's just focus on Jesus' words to Martha. Jesus said to Martha with an extraordinary claim. He said that I am the life and the resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. He's made this extraordinary claim about his absolute power over life and death. What is the significance when he said, I am the resurrection and the life? It means that unlike many of us who are relying on God to give us life and breath every day, every moment, Jesus himself is the source and the author of life. Unlike us who stand no chance against the fate of death, Jesus himself is the victor against death. Unlike us who is unable to offer life to anyone at all, Jesus himself is able to give life to anyone who believes in him. Some of us may ask the question, wow, if Jesus is so powerful and so transcendent, why would he bother caring about us who are so ordinary and powerless? So let me just read verse 32 to 36 to find out. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. You see, Mary and the other Jews were so devastated by the death of Lazarus that they just could not stop crying. And when Jesus saw how sad they were, he cared about them so much that he also cried with them. This is significant because even though Jesus himself is the source and the author of life, even though Jesus was going to restore the life of Lazarus just moments later, but Jesus has so much love and compassion for these people that he could not help but to weep with them. Growing up, I was really into ancient Chinese history. And what I have learned about Chinese emperors is that many of them are tyrants. They have so much power, yet so little compassion. They do not care about the lives of ordinary citizens. Take the first Chinese emperor, Emperor Qin Shi Huang, for example. When the Great Wall was built, did you know that it was estimated 400,000 people died as laborers due to the inhumane working conditions? 400,000 laborers died. Now, for an emperor who regards himself as the top of the hierarchy, he really could not care less about people at the bottom of the hierarchy. Yet, we are meeting this Jesus, who is far greater than any emperors in world history, who is the creator, the sustainer, and the ruler of the whole universe. And yet, he just has so much love and compassion that he is willing to mourn with those who mourn and to weep with those who weep. Why would you not want to meet Jesus? Why would you not want to turn to him for your quest of eternal life? This then takes us to the third part of the talk, which is about finding life. So how does Jesus prove that he is the source of life? I mean, throughout history, many people have made many extraordinary claims about who they are and what they could do, but they often fail to match up to their claims. Is Jesus just like one of them? Let me read from verse 38 to 44 to find out. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefits of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Remember previously, I asked the question, or you may have the same question, why did Jesus not arrive the town earlier? I mean, if he just arrived 4 days earlier, Lazarus would not have died. Well, through the passage that we just read, I think we found the answer. You see, in the climax of this historical account, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and to review his identity as the Son of God. Jesus is indeed the source of life, the author of life. The giving of life was accomplished by the mere authoritative words of Jesus. "Lazarus, come out!" Jesus only said these simple words, and Lazarus came back to life. Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days, whose body started to decay inside the tomb, came out of the tomb well and alive. So Jesus, he did not go to the town earlier for the benefits of us, so that we could all witness that he is truly the Son of God, the source and the author of life. You see, when I first read this historical account as a new Christian, Apart from marveling at the wonder of Jesus, I just could not stop thanking Jesus for the assurance of life that he has offered me. You see, if Jesus has the power to raise Lazarus from the dead by the mere command of his simple words, then how much more will he offer us by his death on the cross? When we meet Jesus, we find life. It doesn't mean that we will not have to face our physical death, but it means that Jesus offers us forgiveness and eternal life. It means that our physical death is no longer the gateway to God's eternal judgment, but rather our physical death is a gateway to eternal glory with our loving Heavenly Father. Doesn't this sound wonderful? Don't you want the assurance of eternal life? If you remember, at the beginning of the talk, I mentioned that the first emperor of China has launched a quest to find eternal life by searching for an elixir of life. Well, his mission has failed because he was looking for something else rather than the source of life himself. The only way that humanity could find eternal life is to meet the source of life himself. And for all of us here, sitting here today, we are so much more blessed than the Chinese emperor. Why? Because we know with certainty who the source of life is. We can only find eternal life by meeting Jesus and accepting him as our Lord and Savior. So to conclude today's talk, I would like to share a bit about my story, how I have met Jesus and found life. As mentioned earlier, I was born in mainland China. Both my parents were communists, and they firmly believed in atheism. So from a very young age, I was taught that there's no God in this world. I was taught that you could only believe what you can see in this world. However, ever since I was a little boy, I always had this fear of death. Death just seems so horrible because you just don't know what happens when you die, after you die. So I remember when I was about 5 or 6, I asked my dad, Dad, what will happen when I die? And my dad just said to me, I don't know what happens when you die, but you know what? Stop thinking about it and you will not bother you anymore. Well, that didn't really help. The more I tried to stop thinking about what happens when you die, the more anxious I became. Death is just so uncertain. It's just so horrible. And then fast track time forward 8 years later, my mom immigrated to Australia. So I came along with my mom. I came to Australia at the age of 13. And then 2 years later, when I was studying in year 10 in high school, I was invited by my friend to attend a Christian youth group, just like the youth group that was run here on Fridays. And what drew my interest initially wasn't Christianity itself. It was just the opportunity to meet English-speaking friends and also to practice my broken English at that time. The youth group itself was run in the format of a Bible study. And due to my limited English capacity, I really struggled to understand what they were talking about. But I was keen enough to just keep exploring a bit about it. And thankfully, my friend's mom, so the friend who invited me to youth group, his mom, gave me a Chinese-English bilingual Bible. So I started reading the Chinese Bible. And through the Gospel of Matthew, I have met Jesus the first time in my life. I still remember the excitement and the enthusiasm after reading the whole Gospel of Matthew. I thought to myself, wow, this Jesus is the answer that has bothered me for years. Now I know what happens when I die. If I do not follow Jesus, I will face God's eternal judgment. But if I repent and follow Jesus, I will not fear death because I have eternal life. So, at the age of 16, I have met Jesus through reading the Gospel of Matthew. And later in that same year, I have found life by accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. This is my story of meeting Jesus and finding life. What is your story? What is your story? I have found the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Have you found him? If you are already a Christian, we thank God for your story of meeting Jesus and finding life. But if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, here is our invitation to you. Come, meet Jesus, then you will find life. Meet Jesus, find life. I'm going to lead us in a prayer now. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, but your heart has been moved today, and you also want to meet this Jesus and find eternal life, I will invite you to take this opportunity to pray with me in your heart. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are sorry. We have failed to love you and love the people around us. We have all sinned against you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who is the source and the author of life. Jesus has come to us and died on the cross so that we could find eternal life. Thank you, Father, for the assurance that when we turn away from our sin and follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we will find forgiveness and eternal life. Father, I want to meet Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to live for Jesus. Please grant me the strength and courage to do so. Thank you for your gift of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you have made this prayer for the first time in your heart, I want to say well done. You have taken an important step in your journey of faith. And we would like to walk alongside with you. We would like to help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. So please talk to other Christians, talk to church pastors, talk to church leaders, so that we can all walk alongside with you in your journey of faith. May God bless you all.